Thank you very much. Hi, everybody. It's really lovely to be with you this morning. I don't often get to leave Maidenhead, so this is a real treat for me. And when Colin asked if someone could come and be with Slough this morning, I actually really, really wanted to be here. And I just wanted to come and just love you guys and just encourage you this morning. I know that you've been through a lot as a congregation in the last few months, and I've been praying for you, and my heart has just been going out to you in all that you've been going through, with the changes with leadership and the changes going forward, and then the dreadful tragedy of Jordan's death. And what I wanted to just come and do was just stand with you this morning and just to really encourage you as people and as a family together. What I really want to do is release life this morning and encouragement. And I hope there's going to be two ways I can do that. First of all, I just want to share a little bit about my testimony, not my whole life story, don't worry, but just a little bit about my testimony, because there are quite a lot of parallels in what's happened in my life over the years and some of the things that you're going through. And I just wanted to encourage you as to how good God is in those things. And secondly, what I wanted to speak about was a passage in Acts that we've been looking at in Maidenhead, and just share a real principle from that with you that I think can bring life and encouragement to you. So I'm really sorry I don't know all your names, and you just probably know me as the very tall one from Maidenhead. Anyway, here I am. I was just saying, I just feel there are quite a lot of parallels in what you're going through and stuff that's happened in my life. And that's not saying at all that I've been there and got the answers and I'm full of wonderfulness, because I'm not. But I just have a testimony that God is so good, and God will never let us go, no matter how bad it gets. And testimony is a really powerful thing. When we share testimonies of God's goodness, it releases that again for God to do it afresh. So that's another reason why I wanted to talk to you. I've been in River for 26 years, and I've probably done almost every job there is in River, except the worship team. Roger, you'll be pleased to know. I've never actually been in the worship team, which I think is probably a good thing. I think it's a good thing. But I've been around for a long time, and for a long while we had a church plant that was in Cookham, and I was a part of the leadership team of that church plant, and I remember what that was like. It was a small church plant, it ran for a number of years, and I remember it was a great joy to be a part of it. You can be a small family together, you can know one another, you can live in one another's lives, and it's lovely. I also remember there could be pressures. There could be stresses, resource pressures, and all that kind of a thing. And I remember that too. During that time, my husband and I were part of the leadership. I lost two babies through miscarriage. And then my third son, Ryan, was born. And he was born with leukemia. And he died when he was a week old. And as a small congregation, that was a real tragedy, just in the way that you've suffered a real tragedy in your church family. And I remember how, as a congregation, we struggled and wrestled with God together to get through that, because it brings questions. It brings unanswered questions often. It brings grief. It brings, how do we support people? What do we do? How do we be a family in this? And we worked through that as a family, and I just wanted to encourage you guys to do that, to hang in together. One of the things that my husband and I found the most important was that we had to keep coming on a Sunday. We had to stay connected to the people of God. When you're in pain, it is so easy to disconnect yourself because you hurt. And I would just really echo what Shay was saying, for you guys to pop in on Kenny and Julie and to text them and to hold them in. It is really important. It is so easy in times of pain for people just to drift. So hang on to them, guys, as their church family. Hang on to them. All of that kind of went on, and all the rest of it. And being part of the leadership team was a real pressure for me. And I actually, at that time, didn't realize I was leading out of a completely wrong place in God. I was leading out of me and what I was capable of and what giftings I had. And actually, I was leading out of a relationship with God that was born out of what I did in church. not who I was with the Lord. And in the end, I had to step down because I just couldn't cope any longer with the pressure. And I went through a time with the Lord of really having to find him afresh. Who was he? I'd just lost my son. I couldn't lead. I didn't know what was going on. And it was a really tough time. But I want to encourage you that it was an amazing time because God takes everything in our lives and he works them for good things in us, doesn't he? And I found a relationship with God that is extraordinary, that is based on who he is and who I am in him. I walked with him through one of the hardest times I've ever had in my life, and he was faithful. We've just sung it, haven't we? Faithful God. He will be faithful to Kenny and Julie. He will be faithful to you guys in whatever you go through. He will be, and he will get you through. And what happens is, as we press into God in these things, God releases life in us. A life in us. 3 years after my son died, my sister had her first child, Hannah, and she was born, and the doctor said she wouldn't live. There were great complications during the birth, and she was basically dying as a very small baby. My mum, who doesn't really know the Lord personally, rang me and said, "Kerry, you have got to pray." And I thought, hey, there we go. So I did. And what rose up in me was this anger that the enemy would dare to do that again in my family. That he'd taken my son. How dare he take my sister's daughter? And I prayed like I've never prayed. And the church prayed, our congregation prayed, and my sister's daughter lived. And the doctors wrote, "It's a miracle." They didn't know how she did, but she did. She's now 15. Her name is Hannah, which means gift from God. my sister named her before all of this had happened, so it really was prophetic. And for me, you know, that was just where I'd suffered death and difficulty and the enemy had tried to destroy, and yet we'd hung in and we kept on going. And believe me, I came to every meeting for a year after Ryan died and I cried. Every single meeting, all I did was sob. It got to the point where the worship leader would just play the first chord and I'd be off. But you know, the guys held round me, they hung round me, they gave me the freedom to do that, my church family in Cookham. But out of that and pressing into God and keeping hold of God, look what the Lord did. In another situation, he brought life, incredible life and victory. And I want to encourage you here in Slough that this is a tragedy, but the Lord can bring amazing life and power through this. If we will press into him and hold into him and keep going with him and keep giving him those questions and letting him bring answers to you, or maybe not, but just knowing who he is as a loving father, you will be amazed at the victories that the Lord can bring through you as a people. Now, the whole leadership thing that all fell down around my ears. I'm leading Maidenhead now. I've been doing that since October. I'm doing that out of a different place with the Lord and loving it. Loving walking with God, holding his hand, seeing him move in grace. And I could never have come and done this. Never. But again, in times of tragedy and brokenness, if you will hold on to God and press on with him, he will take us on and bring life. So I just really wanted to encourage you with that this morning and just say, guys, keep going. You're doing such a fantastic job. And I know you've got changes ahead. I know you've got your summer advance coming up, which is so exciting. I really loved hearing about that. I thought that was fantastic. And I will be praying for you that you really see God move and a new, fresh expression of Slough congregation comes out of that, that's vibrant and full of life. And you really sense the purpose of God and the life of God on you. It will be really, really good. So that's part one. Bless you. can I just pray with you as I just finish that? Yeah. Father God, I just want to thank you for this family here today. I want to thank you for the family that you've put together here in Slough. And Father God, where things have been tough, where things have been stretched, where there's been grief and difficulty and tragedy, Father God, I just release your goodness and your grace and your love and your blessing and your favor and your faithfulness and your power Lord God, I release those things over this congregation, this family. And we say, bring it on, Lord. We are not giving up. We are not giving in. We're going to press on and into you. We're going to unite as a family, Father God, and we're going to see you do mighty things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh. There we go. That part one. Part two. Ooh. Thank you very much, Paul. I've got some PowerPoints. Now in Maidenhead, it's a bit of a stress speaking in Maidenhead. They're all a bit high tech over there. I've got this fantastic leadership team who are all very high tech, and I've been like the technical dinosaur. And I've been like, oh yeah, yes, somebody else can do it. And then I was saying to Carol at the start of the meeting, I've actually realised I've got to pay attention. So I've been trying to pay attention. I've been trying to do things a bit differently. So I brought a PowerPoint with me this morning. Now then, be really impressed. In Maidenhead, we're studying Acts. And why are we studying Acts? We're studying Acts because we've called it the Heaven on Earth Show. Acts is all about bringing heaven to earth. It's the story of the early church and how they brought heaven to earth. And in Maidenhead, we want to bring heaven to earth. And my guess is you kind of want to do that in Slough too. So we're going to be looking at a passage of Acts, and it's about bringing heaven to earth as we learn from the early church the principles and the values that brought the most amazing growth to the early church. What we're going to be looking at today is Acts 6, the first 8 verses. So if you want to go there in your Bibles, that'd be great. Can I have the next one, Paul? And I've called this Tables, which is kind of a bit weird. We're going to read this passage together in a moment. But basically for me, this passage splits into three. And there are some tables in each of those three places. You'll see, it'll all become clear as we go on, hopefully. So let's read the passage together. It should come up. Okay. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, that's an important point, they were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and 5 other people. And these they brought before the apostles. I'm a coward. I'm not going there. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. So there we have a passage where we see a growing church. It said at the beginning, the disciples were increasing in number. They're living as one family. We learn earlier on that actually they're meeting all their needs together. They're all sharing food, sharing possessions, living as one family. And there are some stresses and strains that come with that as you get bigger. And here we have the first table. Nice table. Do you like that one? A complaint. And the complaint was about what was happening at the tables. Okay, widows were being overlooked. And I could spend sort of 10 minutes telling you all about the Hellenistic Jews and the this and that. That's a bit boring, so we'll skip over that. What we had here, though, was this complaint about serving tables. And this was actually something that threatened the unity of that family. And there was a group who were disenchanted, who were grumbling, who wanted to be listened to. And when that happens, the enemy can so easily get in there, can't he? So easily get in. And in the, with the attitudes, there's a break in relationship, there's a wall goes up. So this was actually, although this seems quite an innocuous thing about serving tables and distribution of food, it was actually really important for this early church, what they did with this. So what do the apostles do? Well, we have some round the table talks. Table number two. The apostles take this seriously. They don't ignore the complaint that's going on. They sit down with the disciples and they work to sort out a solution. And as we look at what they did, out of it comes a really key value that I think is really important for us to learn from and that can really help us and is vital as we seek to grow in God individually and as a congregation. Okay? And that value is, go for it, Paul, honour. Now, what do you understand by honour? I'll just be really honest with you and tell you my understanding of honour has been completely skewed over the years. It's a kind of bit of a churchy word sometimes that's bandied about. And I have had a really earthly understanding of honour and not a heavenly one. To me, I'll be really honest with you, honour seemed a bit of an odd thing. It was about flattery. It was about kind of, you know, if somebody, it was about saying something nice to somebody to make them feel better about themselves. So I would have to meet someone and think, well, I need to say something good that would really honour them. Which to me didn't feel very full of integrity, but it's kind of what I thought it was. Or when somebody did something really good, I would honour them for doing it. But then that meant they kind of earned it. So that kind of wasn't right either. And I've really struggled with this word honour. And we bandy it around church. We honour this person, we honour that person. And I keep thinking, oh, I don't get this. And God's been teaching me about this in the last couple of months. And it's absolutely changed my life and the way I see people and the way I relate to people. And I wanted to share some of it with you because it may be you, like me, probably weren't in the same terrible place I was with honour, but might not quite grasp the full impact of honour. I've come to see how vital honour is for us as a family as we seek to bring heaven to earth. So, honour can be defined like this. Honour is both the desire and the ability to recognise glory in one another. So, it's the desire and the ability to recognise glory in one another. So it's intentional, it's a choice, it's the desire, we need to choose to do it, and the ability is something initially that is a God-given change in our understanding, but that we need to practice. Okay? So the desire and the ability to recognize glory in one another. Well, what's glory? Okay, what is glory? Right, first of all, every single one of you carries glory. Every single one of you. First of all, you bear the image of God. We're told we're made in his image and he is glorious. None of us could argue with that. So you are glorious. You're made in his image. Secondly, we all carry gifts and talents. And they're part of our glory. I love what Dave Jones in the Marlow congregation says. I heard him talking about this the other week. He said, if you think about God, God is infinite. He has an infinite number of gifts and talents and characteristics and traits. Absolutely infinite. We're made in his image. We have some of those within us. Every single one of us. And together we make up this myriad infinite thing of glory and gifting and talent that God has. We reflect him. So each of us is vital because we have a unique gifting within us. Absolutely, you are completely unique. There is nobody like you. You have greatness in you, every single one of you. And the world needs you. The world needs you, and God needs you to be you in the world, reflecting who he is. Glory is also the sheer goodness of God. Moses says to God, show me your glory, Lord. And in Exodus 33, God says, yeah, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. God proclaims his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his truth, his forgiveness. All of that is God's glory. Glory is also something that kind of emanates from God, that surrounds us, that covers us, that fills us, that infuses us when we're in his presence. If I get you to think about Moses when he'd been in the presence of God, he came out and his face shone so brightly when he'd been in God's presence. Also Jesus at the Transfiguration was brilliant, shining. 2 Corinthians 3 tells us about Moses' face shining. That was under the old covenant. So that was the law, okay? That was the obey this or else kind of scenario. But it was so glorious, that law, his face shone. I've never seen a man's face shine that brightly with the glory of God, have you? But that's how glorious it was under the old covenant. But we live under the new covenant brought by the death of Jesus. And actually, that is far more glorious. And we're told that will never pass away. And that covenant, we're told, is written on our hearts. So we carry that glory shining brightly within us, as it did on Moses' face. But it's written in our hearts. And 2 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For if what was passing away was glorious, what remains is far more glorious. What's going on in us is far more glorious than what went on with Moses. We are glorious beings." And the Lord wants us to realize that and not live with the lies of the enemy that actually we're not. Because we are, every one of us. And that's not dependent on how you feel about yourself or what you do. You are a glorious son and daughter of the living God. It's no question. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Now, I used to concentrate on the "all have sinned and fallen short" bit. It's where our minds go, isn't it? All have sinned and fallen short. Yep, that's me. What have I fallen short of? The glory of God. That's what we're meant to carry. Filled with it, representing it, and demonstrating it everywhere we go. And Jesus came to sort out the fallen short bit and the sinned bit. That all have sinned and fallen short has been dealt with by Jesus. So we can live in the glory of God bit, no longer short of it. Jesus died for us because we were worth it, not because we were worthless. He died for us because we were valuable. He didn't die because we were rubbish sinners, but because our destiny is to be glorious sons and daughters of God, and we'd fallen short of it. So Jesus honoured us. He saw our glory and he humbled himself before us. He recognised our glory and he laid himself down for us. And that's our model with one another. We recognise the glory that is in each one of us. And what we do is we humble ourselves before one another, lay down ourselves for one another. That is real honour. That is what honour truly is. Recognising that glory that is in each one of us. We are amazing people. We are. Do you believe that? You are an amazing person. Honour is the desire and the ability to recognise glory in one another. And in this passage, we see that honour being worked out in practice in a family. Everybody in this passage was honoured. The widows were honoured. They could have just been like, you know, it's the widows. Well, we'll get on with the important people. We're going for it. But they were honoured. Their value was recognised. Their needs acknowledged. And quality people were set aside to serve those tables for them. Do you notice it was Stephen, full of faith and the Holy Spirit, who was put aside to serve tables? now, if I had somebody who was full of faith and the Holy Spirit, would I put them serving tables? I'd probably put them on a ministry line or leading a meeting or whatever, but no. Those widows were honoured. The best people were put to serve at those tables. The congregation were honoured. The apostles listened to their congregation and they dealt with the complaint. They communicated with their congregation. Yeah? The apostles themselves were honoured, weren't they? They were released to do what they needed to do, which was seeking God, which was studying the word, which was bringing breakthroughs over their congregation in the Lord. They weren't let off the hook, serving wise. They were released into serving in the way that they needed to. And the volunteers themselves, they were honored. The apostles laid hands on them, commissioned them, prayed for them, and valued them in what they were doing. So having said all that, why is honor important? Why do we need to bother? Because honor releases life. Can you say that? Honor releases life. In Ephesians 6 verses 2 and 3, Paul says this. He refers back to one of the commandments, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It's a really vital principle that honour releases life. And we see it in the passage that we've just looked at. Stephen goes from being somebody who's already full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, which is pretty good, to being somebody who is full of grace and power, performing great wonders and signs among the people. As he honours the widows, the apostles and the congregation around him, he grows. Life is released in him and through him. So as you honour one another, life will grow in you. Yeah? All that glory that's in you will begin to come out and be released because honour releases life. So honour one another because as you do, you will grow. And the person you're talking to will grow too. Because in the congregation, we see honour released life. We're told the number of disciples continue to increase greatly in Jerusalem. So all that honouring that went on as a body, as a family together, released huge life. It was just a byproduct almost of the value that was in that congregation for one another. We're also told that a great many of the priests came to faith. Did you pick that up? So actually, there was influence. This body of people honoured one another. No matter how lowly those people seemed, they honoured one another. They released life in people coming to them, and they had influence because the priests came to know the Lord. It was a culture of honour amongst them that they worked at, and the effects were extraordinary. So what would this congregation look like if we truly honoured one another? What would it look like in Slough? What life would be released in you? Life in yourself, life in another person, and life in this family. What would Slough look like if everywhere we went, we released honour? In every shop, in every conversation, in every contact with everyone we met, what life of heaven would we release as glorious beings, honouring the people we come in contact with? Wow. So, it's great if we could cultivate a real culture of honour amongst ourselves, to begin to plant the seeds of it, to water it, to look after it, to care for it, to honour one another. Bill Johnson says, from Bethel Church in Reading, says a really great thing. He says, celebrate who people are without stumbling over who they're not. I really, really like that. It's really easy to focus on who somebody isn't. But let's celebrate who they are. Because as we do that, we release honour. We release honour in them, glory in them, to grow and become even more than they already are that we're celebrating. And we release that in us to that same life. I'll just give you a really practical example of this. And that's Colin Barnes. He is somebody who honours people. And I've worked with Colin for a number of years. And something Colin has always done is honoured me in our relationship. He has drawn out of me good stuff, drawn greatness out of me. And I believe one of the reasons I'm here doing what I'm doing now is because he's done that. Because I am by nature a scared person. I don't, might not look it, but I would, a year ago, 2 years ago, I would never in all my born days have done this. But Colin worked with me, and yes, he mentored me, and the Lord did so much in me, but a key thing was that he honoured me, and he released life in me. He's released this in me by what he's done. Yeah? And so that's what we can do in one another. That's what we can do in one another. So, what are the consequences? Well, I don't know if you remember that very first slide. There weren't very many people in that. Look at that now. That restaurant's packed. We've already touched on this, haven't we? Look how many tables there are there. Full of people. An explosion of life. Have we got that next one? Because I like this slide. I just liked it. That's why I did it. A real explosion of life. We've said life released in Stephen, in individuals, and in the congregation. What I do has an impact spiritually in the congregation. And that's every one of us. What you do has an impact in this family. So let's have a fantastic, positive impact. This story is an amazing demonstration of what happens when a difficulty and a complaint is met with honour. A potential disaster in the life of a church is turned into a spectacular demonstration of the kingdom. And I don't know about you here in Slough, but I want that. Okay, I'm just going to finish with something that's just a bit of fun. What it illustrates is, if we can get it working, which we will do in a minute, won't we, Paul? Yes. This is an advert, okay, that Coke ran. And what they did was they did a little project and they put Coke machines in different shopping centres. And they were ginormous Coke machines. You couldn't reach the top. And they did it to see what was going to happen. Okay? So for me, this is just a lovely illustration of what happens when we work together. And what I want you to do is watch this and I want you to look out for the percentage. Okay? Okay. Did you see the percentage? What was it? 1,075%. It's a bit mind-boggling, isn't it, really? When the people worked together, honouring one another, you see the link? When they worked together, the increase was 1,075%. They could have just got one bottle for themselves, but look at the increase. And what's more, they had fun. They all benefited. And actually, there was a worldwide impact. Did you see all the headlines from all the different newspapers? So, if we honour one another, what could we release for God? How much of heaven could we bring to earth? Far more together than we could possibly do on our own. We really need one another. And I think we've got one more slide. Next one, Paul. We really need one another. So what I'd just like to do is, I'd just like to pray for you, really, if that's okay. I'd like to pray for us all individually to really grow in the whole thing of honour, to really begin to have our understanding changed, yeah, our hearts changed, and to really begin to live differently and see one another differently. And I'll just be really honest with you. As I've studied this, we all have people who we find difficult, don't we? There's somebody I find really difficult. And actually, as I went into Maidenhead, I've given part of this talk in Maidenhead. I went in, that person was there. And I was like, this is interesting. And normally I would have been a bit, oh, dear, this is difficult. The difference in my heart was extraordinary. I was like, wow, look at that person, they carry God's glory. So God can really do something supernaturally in us. And that's part of the desire and the ability to recognize honor. So if you would like, if this has impacted you, this message, if you'd like, feel you would like to grow in that whole culture of honor, would you like to stand with me and we'll pray together? Is that okay? You don't have to, but if you feel, yeah, you know, Lord, I really wanted to go for this, let's do it. Okay, Father God, Lord, I just want to thank you for the amazing, amazing honor that you showed us in laying down your life, your son's life, for us, because you see how incredibly valuable each one of us is. And Father God, we want to walk in your footsteps and honor one another as you honored us. And Lord, we just stand here today and we say, Lord, would you change us? Would you renew our minds and our hearts, where we're shaped by the world, where our views and our attitudes are trapped in what the world says? Would you break us out, Holy Spirit, right now? Holy Spirit, I just pray you just come and blow. Blow on every person here. Change our hearts and our attitudes towards one another. Let us see glory in one another. And Lord, where the enemy has lied to us individually and said, you are not a glorious being because you're this or you're that, I just want to release the truth over every person here. You are a glorious being. You are filled with God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You cannot be anything other than amazing and glorious. And Jesus, thank you that you've dealt with our sin so that we can be glorious. And we just hold our heads up high, Jesus, and we say, teach us and train us. Take us on, Jesus. Change us. Father, I pray over this family here that this will become a model of honor. A model of honor. A family where honor is so shown to one another in integrity, wholesome honor, that life is released in the most extraordinary way. And I just prophesy that people will look over Slough and say, what was the secret? What was the, what brought this life? And one of those things will be honor. Honor. So we release that here, Lord, in your name. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, you are for us. For us, for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please do sit down. Thank you very much. And your homework for the week. Your homework for the week is to think about somebody who you would never normally honour. Pray about that person and go and intentionally honour them. In whatever way that might be. Okay? Thank you very much.